Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GE Power India Limited earnings conference call for the first quarter of FY 2022-23. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Jain, Managing Director, GE Power India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to all of you to the earnings call for the first quarter of the financial year 2022-23. Thank you all for joining us today. I welcome my team as well, who is joining me to discuss and share about the operating and financial performance of the company. I have with me Whole-time Director and CFO, Yogesh Gupta, our Head Commercial, Vineet Pant, ASEAN Sales Head, Brian Selby, Regional Head for Asia, Rajraman, our COO for Project Portfolio. I would like to briefly touch upon the global economy and what is impact, and then about the power sector in the country, and then we will get into the discussion regarding the financial results. A brief background about the global economy, which has revived from the pandemic, is now gradually getting stronger every quarter to touch the pre-pandemic growth levels. However, it is facing headwinds due to rising inflation, developed economies following us, especially in the developed economies, followed by a surge in crude prices last quarter, and that has had a domino effect on the developing and emerging economies. Additionally, as we know, the conflict in Europe has disrupted the supply chain, which continues to be disrupted. The first half of 2022-23 has been one of the worst global energy crisis, which was predominantly triggered by the geopolitical issues. Electricity sector was highly affected, including the oil and gas sector, with steep rise outside, especially in Europe and America, on the energy costs. Due to the recent geopolitical situation, this has also changed the self-reliance in power generation and energy in many countries, and that has also delayed their coal phase-out plans and lifted several restrictions on coal power generation to meet energy needs. Some examples are known in the press, and you can refer to them. The replacement of natural gas due to high prices and less supply amid the conflict has put emphasis on increase of use of coal in many markets, leading to price of coal commodity rising in majority of the countries. Governments of most of the developed and emerging countries are enforcing emergency measures to tackle the challenges, along with balancing investments in alternative clean energy sources to avoid such crisis in the future. All in all, globally, major players are reviewing their energy strategy, energy security, in the current situation of crisis, driven by the conflict that we see. Coming to the Indian power sector, India has been affected by the global power crisis. Due to the extreme temperatures in the country, the demand for electricity went up significantly amidst the reduced supply of coal. The reduced supply of coal was largely due to high commodity prices of the imported coal and sudden pressure on the domestic coal when the power supply demand came up. 70 power plants across the country operating at very low levels resulted in a power deficit, therefore increasing the electricity prices as well on the exchanges. The power shortage, as we are aware, was majorly due to supply chain and logistics issues and not due to lack of coal stocks. This year's power shortage has led to some calls to increase India's coal power and mining capacity, thus bringing back the emphasis on coal-fired power plants in the country. In a recent report from the government, India has dropped its target of establishing 500 gigawatts of renewable energy capacity. Just give me a second. We see in India, pressure on the power sector, and we see emphasis on coal. The government has readjusted its renewable energy capacity for 500 megawatts by 2030, giving itself flexibility of 50% power from non-fossil fuel sources in the commitment to the UNFCCC. This is a significant development. This shows that India is keeping its options open for new coal-based power plants in the projected 820 gigawatt of total capacity by 2030. If excess demand cannot be met from green fuels, we do expect new coal-fired power plants to come on the grid. As JEPIL, now coming to your company, GE Power India Limited, as JEPIL continues to improve its challenges on converting orders, we have a strong position in a coal sector, and that for servicing existing coal-fired power plants may give that advantage to JEPIL with its competencies. Now we come to the performance of the current quarter. In the current quarter, we continue to have headwind from the lower volume as well as inflation. That is what has impacted margins to a large extent. Orders are up this quarter by 380%, driven by hydro order Saundhati. This win is helping JEPIL's backlog to recover. Though overall service orders are down in the quarter due to upgrade orders getting deferred, the core services orders are up by 18% with improved profitability. Our active opportunity pipeline remains strong in terms of FGD and service opportunities. Over the past 2 years and aligned with our strategy, our service revenue grew by 27% in this quarter, despite overall lower revenue driven by lower order intake in FGDs. The challenge that we see in the execution challenges in the backlog runoff in boilers is what has impacted the bottom line. We will continue to focus on margin recovery in the following ways. One is increase the order volume. That is important. We need volume, and we are hoping to close deals soon with the offer pipeline that Vineet will talk about in a few minutes. And we also need to increase revenue by focusing on lean execution and accelerating milestones to secure corresponding payments and cost savings. Apart from that, we need to continue to optimize the Durgapur capacity and also with an intense focus on the project execution, which is heavily impacted by inflation as well as project delays because of 2 waves of COVID in the last couple of years. All the old projects are delayed, and those are causing pressures in site execution. While we are working to improve upon execution and convert orders, we have also spoken about an opportunity to explore in Africa for entering into FGD services and clean combustion services. So those are the thoughts that we have. I will ask Vineet to talk about the orders, and then Yogesh to take us through the financials. Vineet, over to you.
So thank you, Prashant. Good evening, everyone. So I'm going to talk about the orders. So as Prashant mentioned, there has been a big jump in orders this quarter as compared to last year, almost 380%, which is driven mainly by this hydro order of Saundhati, which is about 8.6 billion. As far as our order mix is concerned, this quarter we have seen orders are higher on moving site, and also it's more percentage is higher for EPC. This is again driven mainly by this order from Saundhati Hydro order. But going forward, as we have been talking earlier also, our focus is clearly, as also Prashant mentioned, to grow our services business and also to focus on EP orders instead of EPC. On services, core services orders have grown by almost 18% with higher profitability.
Sorry to interrupt. On the upgrades, the audio is not clear from your line, so please
okay,
change.
Let me change. Okay. So on the, is it better? So on the
On the services side, as I was mentioning, core services, there is an 80% improved in profitability. But key upgrade orders, you know, we are down overall in services. Some of the key upgrade orders have got deferred. This is because, you know, this quarter there was a huge demand in power, and many of the customers, they have postponed their outages. So that was the reason. FGD, clearly there is an upswing. We see there is an upswing in the market. And we have seen that, you know, in this year, first quarter, almost more than 6 gigawatt has been ordered as compared to 9 gigawatt in the whole of last year. So definitely there is an upswing in the market, and a FGD order is going to pick up now quarter 2 onwards. Pipeline, again, there is a very robust pipeline which we can see. Both for FGD and services. FGD, you know, we have seen a lot of on the ground, a lot of inquiries are there. Customers, especially private as well as state customers, they are seriously pursuing the opportunities now. And services, both for upgrades as well as core, we have a healthy pipeline. So going forward, I think things are looking up for both for FGD and services. I would now like to hand over to Yogesh for the next couple of slides.
Mr. Yogesh Gupta, sir, please unmute your line from your side.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Vineet. I would take you through the revenue and the profit before tax for the quarter one FY22-23. And on the revenue side, the revenue has been down by 426 million and 9.2% if we compare with the same quarter one of 22-23 versus quarter one of 21-22. And if we compare the revenue with the last quarter, which ended on 31st March 22, we are down by 17%. The prime reasons for the lower revenue have been in the FGDs that we have not been able to take new orders in the past 2 years. And this has resulted into lower revenue for us. And due to the ramp up and the execution challenges that we have been facing at different sites, the revenue has been impacted. And we have been seeing a runoff on the boilers backlog, which we have virtually reached the last order on the backlog runoff for boilers. So these have been the reasons which have attributed to the lower revenue by almost 9.2% vis-a-vis the same period comparable last year. Service revenue have grew by 27%, and this services portion includes both steam and gas. And we have been doing well in this area and improving upon our revenue and profitability. The backlog trend has reversed after quite a few quarters, I would say. And 42.9 billion is the backlog at the end of Q1 for FY22-23. Improved from 37.7 billion INR as of March end. And this has the first time after almost about 12 to 13 quarters that we have reversed on the trend of just depleting the backlog. Moving on to the profitability, the profit before tax, there has been an improvement on the profitability front if we compare our numbers of the same quarter last year versus the current year. And last year, as you would recall, we had the impact of negative impact of 850 million on account of the Subansiri project restart in our hydro business domain. And this year still, we are continuing with a loss of 634 million versus a loss of 1.5 billion last year. The prime reasons for the loss have been the project cost escalations due to inflation and the execution challenges that we are facing. The good part is that the workforce situation on the different sites which are running for us has really improved, and we are ramping up on our execution side. Another good aspect has been the improved profitability in the services due to the execution optimization that the team has been driving. Now I would request Prashant to take us to the summary section.
Thanks, Yogesh. So to summarize, there are three focus areas. One, we have to focus on volumes. this quarter we see orders improve due to the sound appeal hydro. Continuous focus on increase in volume is this first focus area. The second one is on execution and recovering on claims with better execution in execution of the projects. And the third one is in terms of the additional opportunities for managing the Durgapur factory optimization better as we run off the boiler backlog. So those are the top three focus areas that we will continue to focus on as a company. With this, I would open up for question and answers, and we will take up question and answers. One more clarification I wanted to place regarding the notification that we have done for the exploration into Africa for addressing clean combustion opportunities. So this is a particular customer request for which we are exploring options to address the opportunity in Africa. And this will be subject to the success with the customer, and we expect that we will be able to get some closure around this in mid of 2023. So it is to address clean combustion services, largely FGD and boiler and AQCS services in Africa. And that is currently early, premature, but we have sought the approval from the board so that we could place certain letters of intent to the customer to show our interest to participate in the segment as a service provider in that area. So with that, we open up then to question and answer, then we take it from there.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Doshi from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, team, and thanks for the opportunity. I'll restrict to two areas, sir. First, on the current quarter and how we should look at the profit and loss account for our company. Given that we have been slow in new orders and there have been deferment for new service orders. We just wanted your thoughts to understand, given the current run rate of 500 odd crores a quarter and the current mix, do you think that the company will be able to achieve EBITDA break-even?
So, Sanjay, good question on the the current quarter. Yes, I do see the challenge on volume. However, considering the big pipeline, I think we will have a couple of quarters by the time we are able to turn around with volume. On the other side, we are also looking at optimizing our structure to address to a volume. So that is largely coming in from the Durgapur factory volume runoff, which is the boiler factory, and where we know we have a challenge and we need to find alternatives in service to grow. The other area is services. In services, we have two sectors, core service and upgrades. In core services, we are very well on the growth path, and we see quarter-on-quarter growth, and that growth continues. Excepting maybe a couple of quarters in the COVID period, the growth has been fairly consistent, and the margin profitability has been also fairly consistent. Yes, for us to get to the right size of volume and margin mix, we have work to do, and I would ask Yogesh to add in further. Yogesh?
Thank you, Prashant. Mr. Joshi, the challenge we have is on EBITDA, and if you look at the June 22 quarter, the current quarter just ended, we are a negative EBITDA of 428. And if you look at the same quarter of last year, it was 1.218 billion INR negative. So we are improving upon I would say, on the EBITDA front. And as Prashant mentioned, that we are still like a few quarters away on like getting to the break-even level of turning around profitable on this front. And normally we don't give any futuristic statements, but we are clearly indicating that the order pipeline is reasonably good, and we are looking forward to some good order intake in the coming quarters, which will ramp up our revenue and profitability and EBITDA finally.
Right, sir. Just one small follow-up on this. Our employee expense and other expense for the first quarter is roughly in the range of 90-95 crores. Do you see any major volatility in this, or this should be stable going forward in the same range?
Mr. Doshi, this would be the similar. If we have our like employee benefit expenses, this is about 954 million INR, and this is in line with what we had as of in the same quarter ending 30th June 21. And vis-a-vis, if the comparison is with the March quarter, there is an improvement of almost about 120, 130 million INR. This was primarily because of the true-up of the provisions that we had to do for gratuity and other retirement benefits. And now we are like doing these on the quarterly basis, and the indications are that this will continue on the similar lines, at least in the current year.
This is very recurring kind of a beast, right?
Yes, please.
Okay. And my last question would be to Prashant, sir, and the team. Sir, we have almost finished 6 months since the parent intention of depromotization, as they want to put it, over 36 months. It's been now 6 months. Can you please update us on what has been the progress on this front? Do we have any concrete plans about how this will be taken forward, and what have been the improvement for JPL as a listed entity? Because you would appreciate that we as minority shareholders will have to deal with the uncertainty for quite a long period of time unless you come out with more details on the same.
Thanks, Ajay. So the update is on the, we're working on following fronts. One is to ensure that the technology transfer, the competence development to for JPL to be able to address the market realities independently, that is ongoing and that is on track. And on the FGD today, we are standing at pretty much 100% now local competence, both on acquisition and on execution. The second area in terms of competence development and strengthening the technology is to get JPL qualified by itself to address all the tenders. So JPL has also now qualified for state government tenders by itself in the FGD area. And that gives JPL the credibility, the track record, and the references to operate by itself in the FGD segment. As regards the services segment is concerned, similarly in services, the competence, the technology, the engineering competence that is required, we have started local investments, which were earlier as a part of the global pool of investments. This year is the first year where JPL is investing roughly about $1.5 million in that range on its own investment into R&D, especially for addressing the market realities of India with renewable integration, with flexibility, and in the service segment. So that is the update in terms of the FGD, in terms of technology transfer, in terms of competence development and qualification criteria for the company to operate by itself. The second area is the new coal opportunities. We see new coal opportunities in the country. And for example, for certain technology, now we have also placed purchase orders for technology transfer internally. So, and the team is now qualified by itself to participate in certain tenders in the country. So there I can give you confidence for business, whatever that is needed for JPL now to operate with its capacity and competence in the area of boiler, in the area of FGD and services is very well on track, and I don't see any concerns in the area. Now, regards the structure of depromoterization and the options that GE is exploring, we do not have any update yet. And for sure, the moment we have it, we will be coming out and sharing with you. There is no change yet from GE point of view.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Narnolia from Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity to ask questions. I have three questions, actually. And first question is regarding this opportunity in emerging opportunity in coal. So there is a new trend emerging, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, globally and in India also, that India is also changed its target of renewable energy. I just wanted to know in this context how your company can benefit and what can be the opportunity for you, number one. And number two, if you can give the split up of your order book as of means order book and revenue, how much is the services part in that and how the services is growing. And number three is about
Please go ahead.
Yeah, in this quarter, you have done an overhead of 184 crores and it was at similar level in the last quarter. So now that you had certain VRS was going on in the last quarter, so is it this 184 crores of overhead base is of recurring in nature or you expect some further reduction in this? And is there any one-off in this quarter?
All right. Thank you. So for the, on the first question on the coal opportunities, there are new coal opportunities also in India. And I just want to remind that the total capacity in the country is still more than 20 gigawatts. And the opportunity that we see are in the range of 7 gigawatts. So there is still more supply than demand. But yes, selectively, we will still be able to participate in one of opportunities. And that could provide significant upside. The crucial part for new build technology is that we have a large setup to address the new build demand. And we need to find the right setup to have a sustainable volume so that we can retain the competence and serve the demand as it arises in the country. Now, regards the opportunity outside India, we are seeing opportunities coming in from, say, for example, Africa, which we have mentioned today. We have also seen one of opportunity coming in from Malaysia, where the customers are seeking service and support on SGD. And we see that, yes, services will see some benefit, but it will take time for these opportunities to develop. And we'll still take see that it will probably take a couple of quarters by the time we get the complete mandate from GE to operate outside India. So that, but yes, that will also have a positive impact in terms of geographical expansion to address the clean combustion service opportunities outside India. So new coal projects, there will be new coal projects in India. We also see some in other parts of Asia, Africa. But I would not plan a full capacity for that because then this would be one of opportunities and we have to make sure we have the right structure so that we are able to selectively participate in that opportunity. So that is how we see the opportunity. On service side,
How will you participate? Like you have your Durgapur plant and that is getting restructured. So if these new opportunities comes up, then what will be your strategy?
I'll clarify. So in Durgapur, as you might be aware, we have a capacity of 800,000 hours. We have brought it down to roughly 460,000 hours. Once we execute the last couple of projects, the capacity we are planning to bring it down to maybe about 180,000 to 200,000 hours. So this way we will still have the capacity in the factory and we will have the technology and the tools, but we will have a size which is adequate to address the service market. At the same time, should there be a demand, we can always ramp back up if need be. But
for keeping a factory idle for a demand that might come 4 to 6 quarters, we'll have a lot of under-recovery headache, a lot of under-recovery headwinds on the performance. Therefore, it is important to right-size, but at the same time, it will not impact our ability to address the demand, if at all it comes, for supply from Durgapur. That's
so in short, you can say that you are downsizing the factory in the Durgapur plant, and if the demand comes up, you can ramp it up.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And about your services split and overheads.
Yeah, so on the services, we are seeing consistent growth. There are two segments in service. One is the core services, which is supply of parts, services, repairs. And the second one is upgrades. In core services, consistently quarter on quarter, we are seeing growth. We are also seeing the profitability is also decent. The upgrades is where we are seeing a big opportunity pipeline. So we have seen a lot of opportunities in the upgrades. There is a big demand for customers to revive or upgrade their existing power plants, either to meet the emission standards or then because they know that there is a going to be a longer demand from the existing power plants. New capacity will take at least 5 to 7 years to come into the grid. So there is a lot more opportunity that we see coming in from the upgrades. What we have not yet seen is that opportunity converting into orders. So there is a big amount of opportunities. There are tenders that have been released by the customers, and those tenders are under assessment. So we hope that in this sector, because these upgrade opportunities require approval from the regulators for the power or the discoms based on the type of PPA. So that process will take place. But I see a lot more confidence in upgrades from the customers than I saw it 2 to 3 years ago. In the recent time. So the opportunity pipeline is much more robust in the upgrades. Services, we are seeing consistent growth. I don't see a risk. It just will continue to grow on the core services, on the upgrades.
So how much services revenues are there in your revenue right now?
Yeah. So I will just turn to Yogesh now for the second part of the question and the third question. Yogesh, over to you.
Thank you, Prashant. Mr. Deepak, we normally don't share the split between new build and services. But broadly, like we have the absolute numbers and the indicative percentages I can give you. We have close to about, we can say about 30% of the revenue is coming, 25 to 30% of the revenue is coming from services, which includes both steam services and the gas services. And so this is basically what we have on the services.
And how was it, sir, in the last year?
The last year also, it was almost about 30%. If you, the same quarter, if you look at, it was, I would say it was 22-23% approximately.
Okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So this is how the service business has been like happening, and as Prashant mentioned, that our core services domain is doing very well. And upgrades also, like there is a huge pipeline, but the orders are deferred. So that also will materialize, and then you will see the impact of those revenues as well in the coming quarters.
Thank you. Mr. Nanolia, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions?
So Yogesh, the third question was around the structure cost from him.
So structural cost is, we are looking at almost about 13.5% that we have, and we are doing a review of all the structural costs that we have, and we are looking at what kind of structural costs we can, I would say, sustain on a longer period of time, and then we are looking at the cost-saving measures which were covered in the summary slide of Prashant. We are looking at both the aspects. One is on the structural cost. Second is on the cost of completion of the projects.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surbhi Saraogi from Smith's Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, my first question is that you have been winning a good number of orders. Still at an operational level, the company is incurring losses. So when start making profit, which quarter do you hope to achieve a break-even quarter?
Sorry to interrupt you, Ms. Saraogi. The audio is breaking from your line. Please check.
Hello. Is it better now?
Yes, ma'am.
Shall I repeat my question?
Yes, please.
Okay, so my first question is that you have been winning a good number of orders. Still at an operational level, the company is incurring losses. So when do you hope to start making profits? Which quarter do you hope to achieve a green bottom line?
Ms. Saraogi, we normally don't give projections for the future on like when we will be turning around. And,
Okay, so my another question.
Maybe I can just add on the order pace. The order that we have booked this quarter is a long-term project from Hydro, and this project will execute over the next few years. So it's a very recent order, and therefore the revenue, it will be spread over multiple years. So the all the project portfolio that we have, the project span from the range of, if it's an industrial project to a utility project, it's around 2 to 10 years for an order to convert into revenue when you look at the new build project orders. So if you're referring to the order of this quarter for which we have announced, yes, this will be spread across the next few years.
Okay, got it. And my another question is that in your earlier presentation, you had mentioned that your parent company will be reducing its stake within 36 months. So how much stake will it be reducing? What will be the stake of the parent company after 3 years?
So at this point, we have no further update to that, and we will update you as and when we have more information on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Alok Nath, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I'm audible.
The audio is not clean. Please use the handset mode.
Okay. Now, sir?
So please use the handset mode.
Like I have off the speaker. Now also you are getting some issue.
So we can hear the audio.
Okay.
Please use the handset mode.
Yes, sir. I'm using handset mode only.
Please go ahead with your question.
Okay. Yeah. My question is like in the opening of the presentation, they told the revenue is keeping on going down each quarter, and the reason they stated is like they're not able to get the orders. So since we are operating in several diversified this one, like energy level, service level, and all, still why are they not getting more orders? That's my first question.
So the company is operating. I think you may mute your line. We are getting a lot of echo.
Mr. Nath, please self-mute your audio.
Yeah.
So the company is operating in three segments today largely. In terms of the order profile, we have hydro projects. Then second, we have the new built coal projects, which includes the FGD boiler. And the third segment is services. So what is consistently delivering order intake is services. Hydro, the order is once in a while, like the Soundati order, which was booked in the last quarter. The earlier order was about a couple of years ago. So these are large projects, and the projects usually take time, 2 to 5 years, in terms of developing quotation to the final fructifying of the order. And that is what is the fluctuation that we see because of the hydro order intake. Now, regarding the FGD and the boiler, for the boiler, there has been no new order in the market for the last 4 to 5 years because the entire focus in the entire sector was to order renewable energy, and there was no new order on the new boilers in the last 4 to 5 years. It is in the entire sector. The country has started to consider new coal projects only this year. But again, there is simple overcapacity in the industry in, as regards the boiler, and therefore the entire restructuring around Durgapur that we mentioned earlier in the call and the previous quarters is because of that. So the last is the FGD, which is the emission control to provide the SOX control solutions to the projects. In that segment, when COVID happened in that year, the ordering was stalled. The first round of orders was ordered by NTPC, the central utility. Those ordering was completed. There was a lull in the demand for last couple of years, largely due to COVID, and there was also a neighboring country ban, because of which the customers had to find alternative supply chain to be able to source the demand. So maybe on the FGD ordering, I would ask Vineet to add a bit more. Vineet, maybe you want to address a bit more on the FGD ordering cycle.
Yeah, so Prashant, you are right. You know, we have seen the ordering was almost 30 gigawatt plus, you know, when it started in 2018. And in fact, the last year has been the worst ever, you know, for the industry. As you mentioned, Prashant, we had this issue about COVID, and then we had this land water issue. Plus, you know, there was some ambiguity on the categorization of plants and the implementation timelines. So last year, as I mentioned, you know, it was very bad, and it's almost, you know, we saw ordering only about 9 gigawatt, you know, from last financial year as compared to a peak of 32 gigawatt when it all started. So clearly, we see there is an improvement in the ground. You know, this year so far, we have seen about 6.4 gigawatt has been placed already. So definitely, you know, I would say we see on the ground that customers have started. We have a lot of, as I mentioned, there is a very healthy pipeline, and we are in various stages. You know, in some cases we have submitted our offers, but in many cases we are in the final stages, you know. And really, we see ordering to improve, you know, next quarter onwards. Right.
Okay, sir. I'm also hoping the same thing. Let's get more orders. Because we are having multiple services, but still we are not able to get the orders. That's concerning actually. So I hope you are planning up, coming up with a good plan for that one. So next thing is if you see the financially, the company currently debt wise, debt to equity is comparatively good, but from last few quarters we are continuously making losses. So what is the plan for that one? So going forward, if we continue, that will be having a greater impact, right?
Sorry, the question was
I'll again repeat. Currently, the debt to equity for the company is proper way, it's not concerning. But if we continue the losses, how we are making, right? Every quarter we are making higher loss actually. So if this continues, that will be having a higher impact as we go forward. So how are you planning to tackle that one? That's my question.
So maybe your question is regarding the cash flow for the future. So the FGD projects that we have booked, these are all heavily back-end loaded cash terms, which means that we will recover a lot of cash from the backlog in the next 3 to 4 quarters. And therefore, we don't anticipate the borrowing to go up significantly due to this. So we expect that the cash from the backlog, as we execute the backlog, will come, and that cash will help and support the future structural cost requirements, if any. So we don't expect this to deteriorate in the current situation. Yogesh, if you want to add further.
Thank you, Prashant. The borrowings have come down significantly if we compare from the last year same quarter. From the range of about 500 odd crores, we have come down to 286. And if you look at the debt equity ratio, it has improved from 0.6 to 0.47. And rightly mentioned by you, Mr. Nath, that this is reasonably, I would say, pretty fine on the front of debt equity ratio. So that challenge on the cash flow is not such a big issue because slowly we will be recovering our retention payments from the FGD contracts that we have executed, and we will be completing the future periods to come.
Thank you. Mr. Nath, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sameer Mistry from Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Prashant.
Hi.
My question is, you know, what is the core operating margin of the company, even if you look at this particular quarter? So, you know, while you were mentioning that there are some restructuring costs and startup costs for the hydropower projects, etc. So, you know, if you look at the core operating margin, what would that be? Because, you know, you've also mentioned that, you know, the gross margins have improved by 200 basis points. So if you look at the core operating margin, what would that be?
Yogesh? Core operating margin, if we look at purely from on the gross margin front, it varies from our different segments. It's reasonably, I would say, good on the services side. And on the project side, it is a single-digit number, a higher single-digit number. And this is where we stand. And when we look at our, from gross margin, if you look at the structural cost, we come down to this negative scenario. And what we are seeing at the PBT level, and this time there are no like exceptional issues in this quarter, we are about 12.9 or 13% negative.
So basically what you're trying to say is there are no one-offs in this particular quarter as far as restructuring cost or startup cost, etc. VRS, nothing was there.
Yes, please.
Okay. So so going ahead in the next maybe, you know, couple of quarters, as the top line improves, then the operating leverage can come in. That's what you're saying.
Mr. Mitri, we don't make futuristic statements, but I would say...
I'm not asking for any futuristic statement or, you know, give me the turnover as such or 700, 800 books will be doing in the next couple of quarters. I'm not asking that. What I'm saying is that, is the company ready now? Are there any execution challenges for the remaining? Or from this particular quarter onwards, you will be at least back to the normalcy as far as execution of orders are concerned?
As mentioned by Prashant.
So maybe, Yogesh, I think we have to allow Raj to comment. Raj, you want to comment on project execution?
Sure. Yeah. So I think, look, I think we saw this situation challenges emerge in the last quarter, primarily driven by the inflation. I hope these are now currently, we are seeing the situation kind of get better and our workforce situation also is improving. So we should see more stability around this on the projects front, I would say.
Okay. So this quarter, say, you know, the July, August, September quarter could be back to normal is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Danish Mistry from Investor First Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening and thank you for taking my question. I joined a little bit late, so I had just one question if you touched upon. You basically responded to one of the callers saying that you expect your cash flow situation to improve over the next few quarters given the order backlog. So just wanted to understand, you know, where do we stand on the receivables front regarding our projects that we have already done for some of the PSUs? Thank you.
Mr. Mistry, we have mentioned that the cash situation will improve by way of recovering on the retention payments in the coming quarters, not just because of the backlog. And we had, as we have been sharing in the past meetings, we had close to almost about 40-50% of retention payments in the first phase of FGD project that we had taken. And so this was the challenge that will be mitigated by way of collecting payments once we complete the retention milestones. Can you just repeat the second part of your question, please?
So that was the only question. So essentially what we are seeing is that we are at a situation now where at least the retention milestones have kicked in and we don't see any kind of issues in terms of recovering the retention money that was withheld?
These retention payments are from the two biggest or the best PSUs
yes,
in the country.
For the PSUs.
And as and when we meet the milestones, we will be recovering these retention payments.
Okay. Any number that you'd like? What are the total? What is the total of retention money outstanding? If you can share that.
I can say, normally we don't share, but it is substantial. It is in the range of almost about 80%+ of the receivables.
Of the receivables. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Jain for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining and thank you team for clarifying the questions. Looking forward to speaking with you again in the next call. Thank you all. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GE Power India Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.